And this then brings us back to that third point I mentioned at the start of this lecture. Then what are the lessons to be drawn from the Peloponnesian War? What would be the lessons that Thucydides would wish us to draw? Well, here I think there are several important points that come out, and lessons that can be drawn by generation after generation, because as Thucydides says himself at several points in his history, that human nature and human character, being what it is, will have cause to look at the events of the Peloponnesian War, to draw lessons, and these lessons are not moralizing and philosophical lessons, but lessons of what war does to a society, particularly what does war do to leaders and citizens of democracies or governments in which the citizens determine their own destinies. This is what underscores Thucydides' analysis. And here he makes some very telling lessons. Gives us some very telling lessons, some of these to be drawn directly from his words, and others to be surmised. First and foremost, I think Thucydides saw leadership in these governments as all important. It was leadership that made the difference in both the Persian and Peloponnesian Wars, in Thucydides' opinion. And he gives us two models of leadership in his account of the Peloponnesian War, which really stand as examples of what leaders in some kind of democracy or republic or representative government should follow. First and foremost is the leadership of Pericles. This is laid out very clearly in Book 2, Chapter 65, in which he tells us that Pericles had the ability to inspire the Athenians to make sacrifices, do what was necessary to maintain their democracy, uphold their imperial traditions, and keep their integrity vis-a-vis the Spartans when they were in despair. But when the Athenians became too anxious, when they became too arrogant, when hubris, as a Greek tragedian would say, set in, Pericles then knew instinctively how to calm that assembly and bring it back to a reality. And that analysis of Pericles is really all important. We can debate the wisdom of Pericles' strategy in 431 BC or whether he should have passed the Megarian decree. But no one can dispute that the way Pericles led the assembly, the way he articulated what the benefits of democracy were and what sacrifices were necessary to maintain that democracy, Pericles was exceptional. And after 429 BC, no leader in Athens came close to him. And that is clear from the record. Thucydides doesn't have to do any kind of moralizing on that point. He also gives us an image of Themistocles, the man who was the architect for the victory over Xerxes. And many of those same qualities are in Themistocles, but Themistocles also had a remarkable quality that proved essential on the battlefield, his ability to mass information quickly, come up with a snap decision, and carry that action with resolution. That was the type of genius that delivered the victory at Salamis. And that is another quality that is necessary in a great leader. And those types of qualities can be compared to other great leaders in democratic and republican constitutions. One thinks of William Pitt the Younger, the great commoner in the Seven Years' War, Abraham Lincoln, or Winston Churchill in the Second World War, just to name several. The second important point about leadership is where leadership can go wrong. And in the later stages of the Peloponnesian War, the best the Athenians got was Alcibiades teaming up with Thrasybulus and Theramenes. Theramenes, a rather unsavory figure who dominated the assembly, eventually died protesting the 30 and actually rehabilitated his reputation. And Thrasybulus was essentially a military tactician. And Alcibiades, in many ways, was Pericles in reverse. And Alcibiades did not conform to Thucydides' standard of leadership. If anything, Alcibiades did himself in by exaggerating his role and by not restraining the assembly. And his final self-exile in 406 BC and his miserable death, probably at the hands of a hit squad sent out by the 30 tyrants or Sparta, was testimony to his failed leadership in many ways. And for all of Alcibiades' creativity and genius, he did not have the interest of Athens at heart, and ultimately he aspired to the role of a tyrant. The Spartans, in terms of leadership, do rather well. There are no charismatic kings, but the Spartan military tradition produces officers such as Brasidas, Gylippus, and even Lysander, who managed to soldier on and win that victory, backed by the kings, the Gerasia and Ephors. And very often, Spartan leadership is underestimated, particularly King Archidamus, who was the Eurypontid king, who had grave doubts about going into this war in 432 BC. And in some ways, Spartan leadership and Spartan institutions of leadership hold up very well in the Peloponnesian War.